Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Mishpatim, we have six Divrei Torah. We're going to start all the way at the beginning of the Parsha. First Pasuk, we are in Perek Chafal of Pasuk Aleph, the Eile HaMishpatim Asher Tasim Lifneem. The famous question, why does this Parsha start off at the Eile? And these are the Mishpatim, these are the laws that were given in front of them. And there's a famous Rashi that says, Maharishani Misinei Af Elu Misinei. Just like the earlier ones, what we learned in Parshas Yisro were given at Har Sinai, so to our Parsha, which are talking about the civic duties, the laws between Ben Adam and Chaveiro, talking about the torts, the damages that people can cause to each other and the like. These two were given at Har Sinai, and the Chidushi Harim elaborates on this, a very powerful message to us. There are people who want to explain, they want to think that the Mishpatim, that these laws that are simply logical, they're Hegyoni, they're based on Seichel, that they are man-made laws. We don't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us these laws. We would come up with them anyway. The Torah is telling us, you have to know, the Eile HaMishpatim Asher Tasim Lifnehem, these laws too were given at Har Sinai, even though you may want to think that they are logical and it's not from Har Sinai, you should know they are. And not only do we need to know that knowledge, not only do we need to have that knowledge, but when we do these mitzvahs, we have to mekayim them just like we would a chok. The chok, which is a law that we don't understand. For example, Shadnez, we know for sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us. So to these that are logical, the reason we have to be mekayim them, the reason we have to adhere to them and do them, is not because they make logical sense to us, but rather because they are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the explanation of the Chidush Arim. Ve'eile HaMishpatim Asher Tasim Lifneim. These two are given at Har Sinai, and so too, when we are mekayim the Mishpatim, they make logical sense to us. Don't do it because we think they make sense, but rather do it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them to us. We are now continuing, moving forward with the halachas of the Eved Ivri Vort number 2. And the Eved Ivri talked about a few psukim later. It says that if we have an Eved Ivri, which is a Jewish slave, it's not a Canaanite slave. We'll talk about Canaanite slaves and Eved Canaanite in a little bit. But an Eved Ivri is somebody who was free, but he stole, a thief, and he didn't have the assets to pay off what he stole. So accordingly, the Beis Din gets involved and sells that individual, that Jew, as an Eved Ivri, as an indentured servant, as literally a slave, a Jewish slave, in order for him to work off and pay off his debts. And as is known, if the person opts to stay longer after his initial term of Avdus, he says, after the 6 years, I want to continue to be an Eved, then his ear is pierced. And the Rashi, based on the Gemara, says as follows, Ozen Zo, why don't we pierce the ear? That's the punishment. What did the ear do? So the Ozen Zo Sheshamal Har Sinai L'Signav, it was this ear that heard at Har Sinai, don't steal, V'zehalach V'ganav, and this individual went, and he stole, we are going to pierce that ear. So the question is as follows, it really wasn't the ear. It wasn't the ear that failed, the ear heard the Torah, learned in Cheder, learned in Yeshiva High School, whatever it may be, that ear heard, but the person tried to ignore it. The person did ignore the halachas and went and stole anyway. So why are we punishing that ear? By piercing it. So the Chidush Harim explains as follows, that truth be told, that we have two options here. This is an individual that either heard the halachas, don't steal, he learned the halachas, he heard Aseres Hadibros, don't steal, all the mitzvahs he heard. He heard this week's Parsha, he heard it Lane many times, and he heard it and he ignored it. That's one possibility. Or he simply didn't hear it, and we know this is an individual, he grew up Jewish, he heard it and ignored it. It would have been better had he just not heard it at all, because if we have an option between hearing halacha and ignoring it and just not knowing the halacha because we never learned it, that would be preferable. That doesn't mean we shouldn't learn. We always have to learn. But when we're talking about this individual, he heard it and ignored it. Now we're going to punish that ear. It is fitting now to punish that ear because, in fact, that ear did hear, but the person opted to ignore it. Now, the Admor Migur, he builds on this. He actually takes another approach to it, but somewhat related. And he says as follows, that we have this ear here. And this ear apparently should have been hearing Divrei Torah. And the Divrei Torah went in. Don't steal. Don't do these sins. And nonetheless, somehow it did not get absorbed by this individual. He didn't absorb it. He heard it, but it just didn't get through for some reason. Why not? Because that ear was overly active. It was hearing a lot of late sonus, a lot of frivolity, a nivel peh, a lot of cursing. There was a lot of noise, negative noise coming through that ear. And Chazal say to us, Tipa acha shel leitzanus docha harbe divrei Torah. Even one drop of leitzanus, of frivolity, inappropriate jest, will ensure that we lose out on a lot of divrei Torah, because we're not open to it. Accordingly, this ear that should have been acting as a filter, and it wasn't acting as a filter because there was a lot of garbage coming into that head via the ear. We have an earlobe in order to act as a filter. Close it up, close that ear up, fold that earlobe into the ear so we don't hear what we shouldn't be hearing. And that earlobe did not do its job. It didn't act as a filter. Accordingly, says the Admor Migur, it is very fitting to pierce that earlobe because it was not functioning properly. It was because of the failure of that earlobe. It let too much garbage in, so the Divrei Torah, maybe it came in, but it was never absorbed because there was too much going on in the head with items that should not have entered. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3. We are talking about somebody who has a non-Jewish slave, an Eved Kanani, and there's a prohibition, obviously, to kill. Jew, non-Jew, it doesn't matter. And in fact, if the owner of that non-Jewish slave kills him, that owner is subject to the death penalty. Subject to the death penalty. However, in our pasuk, we're now in Dvar Torah number 3, Perek Chafalav, pasuk Chafalav. We're having a situation that the owner of that non-Jewish slave caused him damage, but he didn't die. Im yom o yomayim yamod. If that non-Jewish slave, he lived for a day, 2 days, he was able to function. Lo yukam. This owner will not be avenged. He will not be punished. Kikas bahu, because he is the owner of that slave. So he didn't kill him immediately. He was able to function, continue, etc. We're not going to go into the pshat of that pasuk, but Rabbi Bunimim Shischa has a drush. It's not the pashtus. It's not the simple understanding of the psukim, but he brings a drush and applies this to tefillah. He applies this to our praying, and he says so many times in our davening, we do it in such a rush. We're not paying attention. We swallow the words. We don't pay attention. We just want to get in and get out. And maybe even if you want to say that one day, im yom o yomayim, one day or 2 days, we slow down. Yom, when would be the one most significant day that somebody may say, I'm going to focus on my davening? That would be on Yom Kippur. One day in the year, or even if you want to expand another 2 days, what are the other 2 days? Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to spend some additional time on my davening. Still, it doesn't matter. Lo yukam. That is not going to come and say my tefillah is going to be effective. Why not? Ki kaspohu. Because somebody who is always in a rush to daven. And maybe come Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, that's the one day, and an additional 2 days, he's going to slow down and focus. What's he really asking for? The pasuk continues, ki kaspo, who he's simply focusing on his money, which means he's simply focusing on his having a parnasa, fulfilling his own needs. That's what he's davening for, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but he is not trying to repair himself in a spiritual way. He's not trying to achieve something different in himself. Accordingly, Rabbunim Mishpsicha says as follows, that a pasuk, that's not going to be a successful davening. So he reads the pasuk as follows. If we have somebody who is always in a rush and tefillah, he doesn't focus on the tefillah, it's not something that's significant to him, obviously the tefillah is not going to be effective. And even if that person, im yom, Yom Kippur, he says, I'm going to try to pay attention to the words. Oh, yomayim, and even if he wants to do an additional 2 days on Rosh Hashanah, ya'amod, he's going to slow down, lo yukam. It's not going to be effective, it's not going to be established. Why? What's he focusing on? Kikas bahu, he's simply focusing on himself. His money is parnasa, but that is not somebody who's looking for a change in himself via his tefillah, and accordingly that will not be a successful tefillah. Obviously, slow down. We should all work to slow down, pay attention to every word, Focus on the davening, focus on the chazarat hashatz, not be running around the shul looking here and there and everywhere. The tefillah is our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and from the beginning until the end, we should be focused on the davening, the words, and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4. We are in Terek Chaf Aleph, Tzukim Chafav, Chav Zayin. Now we're continuing to talk about the Eved Kanani, the non-Jewish slave. And the Pasuk says, on a high level, we'll see it outside and then we'll see it inside, that if somebody causes an injury to his slave, and it lists two injuries. One is he takes out his eye or he takes out a tooth, then that slave will go free. It's going to be set free because of those two specific injuries. So the Pasuk says as follows, the Pesukim says as follows, this is Dvar Torah number 4, Ki Ake Ish Es Ein Avdo, if somebody hits the Ein Avdo, is the eye, etc., Lechavsi Yishalchenu Tachas Eino, he's going to be sent free because of the injury to the eye. Or if it's the next Pasuk, if it's a Shen Avdo, Lechavsi Yishalchenu Tachas Eino. So either one. So the question is, why specifically those two? Why, when we're talking about an Eved Kanani, somebody caused an injury to his Eved Kanani, he injures his eye, he injures his tooth, why are those two that are singled out? So let's take a step back. And the issue is, where do we see this concept of avdus, that we see this concept of slavery of somebody who is non-Jewish, in particular, Canaan, somebody who is from the nation of Canaan. So this harks back all the way to almost the beginning of the Torah, from the klala of Noach to his son Ham. Noach had three initial sons, Shem, Ham, and Yafes, and Ham was the father of Canaan. Shem, Ham, and Yafes, and Ham was cursed, Eved Avadim Yele Achav, you are going to be a slave to your brother. So that is Ham, who gave birth to Canaan, the nation of Canaan. So here we have this klala, this curse by Noah, Ham, you are going to be the Eved to Shem and Yafet. So that is the generation of this concept of the Eved Kanani being a slave. And accordingly, if we go back to why did Ham get this original curse, it's because there was an event that he saw Noach doing something. It's recorded in the Torah and the Chazal. And there Ham saw his father and he really disgraced him. And it says as follows in the Pasuk, Vayar Ham Avi Kanan. What did he do? He saw Noach when he got shikar. He saw it, so that's his eyes. And then also, the sin continued. Vayaged lishnei achav. He told over what he saw to his two brothers, Shem and Yafet. When you speak, the speech goes out through the teeth. It ends, right? When it exits, the teeth is the last place that it goes through. So we see here that the sin of Ham, the father of Canaan, was through his eye, seeing what Noach had done, and through his speech, through his teeth. And accordingly, says the Gaon Mivilna the Gra. So we see specifically when it comes to the eye, and when it comes to the eye, and it comes to the tooth or teeth, when they are taken out by the owner, that is a kapara. That is acting as a repentance for the sin of Ham, the father of Canaan. And accordingly, if either of those come out and we are being mechaper on the sin of Ham, it makes sense accordingly that that person now has a kapara and should go free from his master who causes him the damage, either to the eye or to the tooth. We are now continuing with Dvar Torah number 5. We are in the laws of Shomrim, discussed in this week's Parsha. Somebody who washes over the asses, there are 4 different types of Shomrim. We are in Perek Chaf Beis, Psukim Vav and Zayin. And it says as follows, we're going to first see the Pashtus of the Pasuk, and then we're going to see here a drasha by the Chassam Sofer in the name of Rav Nosson Adler. So he says as follows, if you look in the Psukim, Dvar Torah number 5, Ki Yiten Ish Es El Re'eu Kesef O Kelim Lishmor. If we have an individual who gives another Jew Kesef O Kelim, he gives him money, if he gives him silver or other vessels to watch over, V'gunam in Beis Ha'ish, and it's stolen, Im Yimata Aganav Yishalem Shnayim. If you find the person who stole those assets from the shomer, from the person who was watching over them, this third party stole them, that third party thief is going to have to pay double. That's his knas. He's going to have to pay double the value of what he stole. Im lo yimatzeh haganav. However, if you don't find that thief, then that shomer is going to have to go to Beis Din. That person, that Bailey who's watching over the assets, he's going to have to go to the Elohim, which is the Beis Din. So the drasha brought by the Chasam Sofer in the name of Rav Nosson Adler is as follows. We're going to go through the pasuk again, the psukim again, but give it a totally different spin. And it says as follows, Ki ten ish. When ish is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, this is Ha'ish, this is the person Ish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gives Nosen, when he gives El Re'ehu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to a Jew, that is a Re'ehu, so the Kiten Ish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Re'ehu to a Jew, Kesef or Kalim, even either material assets or abilities, whether he gives him wealth or physical strength, whatever are the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a Jew, Lishmor, in order to use for the proper purposes, to Lishmor is to watch over, that we're supposed to use the gifts that we have, the assets that we have, the wealth that we've received, the physical abilities that we have, the skills that we have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're supposed to use it for the proper purposes of the Kedusha. But in the end of the day, instead of doing that, the Gunav Nibes Ha'ish, and it is stolen, the Gunam Ibeis Aish, instead of using it for the proper purposes, the person steals it. And the money that he is given, he uses for inappropriate things or prohibited things. And the physical abilities that he has, and the mental abilities that he has, instead of focusing on proper use of earning a parnas or learning Torah, the things that he should be doing, he uses it for anti-Kedusha things. He uses it for terrible things. Accordingly, the pasuk continues. Let's reread the pasuk so far. See where we are. Ki ten ish el reyeh, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a Jew kesef o kelim, when he gives him abilities, assets, etc., lishmor, to use, to watch for the proper purposes. Viguna mi beis ha'ish, instead of that person using it for the proper uses, he steals it and uses it for improper things. Now let's continue with the drasha. Im yimatze haganav, if we find at the time that there's a dinun v'cheshbon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging that person, and it turns out that he has not done tshuva for taking those assets, abilities, etc., that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him, he has not repented for it, in that situation he will be punished doubly. Yishalem Shnayim is going to have to pay twice because he stole those items, those gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. On the other hand, im lo yimatze haganav, if he is not found to be a thief, which means it is found that he did tshuva. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me things, I used it for the wrong purposes, but he does tshuva from what he used it in improperly. If that is the case, that he is no longer a ganav because he was chozer v'tshuva, the pasuk says, v'nikra balabais alalokin, that balabais, this individual that had those gifts, that did tshuva, he becomes closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by virtue of the tshuva that he did. He establishes an even stronger bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kas Chazal tell us, b'makom shebalei tshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemorim yicholayim la'amwa, the place where balei tshuva, because they were chozer b'tshuva, they came from a bad place and they did tshuva, they repented, they stand on such a high level that even tzaddikim gemurim, FFBs that were perfect their whole life, not that that exists, they can't even achieve such a level. So let's reread the psukim with that drasha of Rav Nosson Adler. It goes as follows, Ki ten ish, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives el reyehu to another Jew, to a Jew, kesef o kelim lishmor, he gives him money, gives him assets, gives him abilities, capabilities, physical, mental, spiritual, and he doesn't use it for the proper purposes. V'guna mi beis ha'ish, and he steals it, he uses it for wrong things. What's the result going to be? It depends. If he does tshuva, if he didn't do tshuva. If he didn't do tshuva, yimatze haganav. If he is found to still be a thief because he wasn't chozer b'tshuva, yishalem shnayim, he will get a double punishment. On the other hand, im lo yimatze haganav, if he is not found to be a thief, why? Because he was chozer b'tshuva. In that situation, he's going to have an even stronger relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he's a Baal Tshuva, v'nikra Baal Abayis HaLelukim. He is going to come even closer. He's going to have kirva, close relationship, this individual, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we are moving forward to our last number six, sixth Dvar Torah. We are in Pasuk Chaf Beis, Pasuk Chaf Zayin. We are talking about v'nasi b'amcha lo teor. You shouldn't be cursing anyone. But especially the Nasi, there is a specific Isser to be disgracing the Nasi, who is the leader, the Manhig of Klal Yisrael, we would say, Jewish leader. We're not talking about contemporary politicians, but the Gedolei Ador, those who are really leading us, or at least historically, we don't really have these type of nasi, these manhigim, but it could be the Gedolei Ador. Certainly, they have to be taught with respect. Everyone has to be taught with respect, but especially the Gedolei Ador. So oftentimes, unfortunately, human nature is that people will find deficiencies in others, especially the leaders of a generation. Those who are the leaders, you need to have a thick skin because people are constantly pointing out or creating deficiencies in the character traits or the actions of those individuals. That's why the Torah says there's this separate Isser, because the Torah knew this happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. People would disgrace Moshe Rabbeinu himself, creating things that Avadai never existed, saying he was stealing money from the Oel or the making of the Mishkan, etc. Totally fabricated, but nonetheless, that is the lot for a Nasi. And accordingly, the Torah knew that. And it says in our Pasuk, Ganasi Be'am Chalot Teor. So the Drash Vayun brings a Ma'amar of Chazal that apparently has no connection to it, but it connects beautifully based on the Drash Vayun. It's about Chametz. And the Isser of ownership of Chametz on Pesach, and it says as follows, Shalchaya Taroa, there's an Isser to see, to have possession, ownership, to see your own Chametz, Aval Ataroa Shalachayim Shalgavoa. But you are not over the Isser of ownership of Chametz, seeing Chametz, if it's owned by somebody else, or if it's owned by Gavoa, by the Beis HaMikdash. It's not yours, that's Shalachayim. So the Drash Vayuna says as follows, in applying this, this Chametz concept represents the Yetzer Hara that we have, for the bad, the evil, the difficulties, the sins that we ourselves have. So he applies it as a drasha shalchaya Torah. You do not see your own deficiencies, but what you do see is you see the deficiencies of Alat Roa Shel Acherim. You do see the deficiencies of others. V'shel Gavoa. Gavoa, those who are lofty, can mean a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But here he's applying it to those who are the manhigim, the leaders of generation. People take pachas, take pachas to the rabbi of the community, to take pachas of the gabbai of the shul. And unfortunately, people oftentimes, they don't see their own deficiencies. Sometimes there are deficiencies in the Rav, and sometimes there are deficiencies, and it should be pointed out in a very proper way. But oftentimes people, very oftentimes people don't see their own deficiencies. Sometimes people have an inability to see their deficiencies. And that's why here the Torah is telling us, and this is the Drash Vayu, and the Torah is telling us, especially when it comes to a leader of a Nasi B'am Chalot Teor, watch what you say, watch how you act, because that is human nature. And we see it from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until today. We have to be very careful about how we view other people and their deficiencies, especially when we have people in those positions, because that is the proclivity. Shalchaya Taroa, you don't see your own deficiencies, but you do see the deficiencies of others, and Vishal Gavoa, and those who are in certain positions, who are watching out for the community, and they are doing the best they can, and indeed we should be thanking them rather than calling out their deficiencies. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.